After his condemnation by Pilate, our divine Savior was led away by the soldiers. The purple robe, which had been thrown over him in mockery, was removed and his own garments put back on him. He was then given his cross. The procession formed and set out in all haste to Calvary. First came on horseback the centurion, whose duty it was to preside at the execution and to maintain order in the crowd. Next came the herald bearing the title of the cross and proclaiming the crimes of the condemned. Then came the executioners carrying the mallets, the nails, and the ropes. Now, these were followed by the two thieves to be crucified. And last of all, our Savior, weak and tottering, yet laden with his heavy cross. On each side of our Lord and along the entire procession marched Roman soldiers, and all around him an immense multitude, shouting, jeering, cursing, some throwing stones or spitting upon Christ as he slowly walked along. But among the thousands of people lining the narrow street of Jerusalem was Our Lady. St. John, St. Mary Magdalene, and other holy women, in the company of Our Lady, followed our Lord to Calvary. And according to a most venerable tradition, Our Lady met our Lord on his walk. St. Alphonsus says she could not embrace him. She could only look upon him as he looked at her. But with each step, it became apparent to the Jews that our Lord was not going to be able to go on much further. He was, so it seemed to them, not going to make it to Calvary. The cross that our Lord carried was 15 feet high and 8 feet across. He carried it in such a way that he supported one end on his shoulder and dragged the other along the ground. As he labored, a certain priest writes, under the weight of the cross, as the one end happened to strike against stones and ditches, our Lord was constantly jolted so that the wounds from his scourging were repeatedly reopened, causing continual and severe pain and an almost constant falling to the ground. In fearing that he would die before he reached Calvary, the Jews then demanded that someone help Christ carry the cross so that he would die on the cross. And thus, my dear people, the help they demanded for Christ was not in any way out of pity or charity, for they had none of these. The help they demanded was on account of their deep-seated hatred that they had for Christ. They wanted him nailed to the cross. They wanted him to suffer and die in the midst of agonizing torments. They wanted all Jerusalem to see them victorious, as it were, beneath the cross, and him conquered and humiliated upon it. The soldiers acquiesced to their demand, and they found, as St. Matthew writes, a man of Cyrene named Simon. Him they forced to take up his cross. Simon was standing in the midst of the crowds when the soldiers physically laid hold of him and forced him to take up the cross of Christ. It was the opinion of St. Hilary of Poitiers, St. Ambrose, and Pope St. Leo the Great that Simon of Cyrene was not a Jew, but a Gentile. And he was compelled by the Romans to carry Christ's cross. According to St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, and St. Athanasius, from this moment on, Simon carried the cross by himself, while Christ walked alone in front of him. Now you must understand, my dear friends, to bear the cross of a condemned man was an insult and a public humiliation. It was an embarrassment and a disgrace. And thus it was that Simon initially bore the cross of Christ with reluctance, aversion, and annoyance. But as he walked along, carrying it behind Christ, the grace of God softened his heart as he took note of the noble bearing and demeanor of Christ, who bore with such meekness and patience all the insults, all the sufferings, and all the torments of the soldiers and the Jews. And thus did Simon freely accept the grace of God offered to him and begin to understand that there was something special, there was something extraordinary, there was something different about this beaten and bruised man who slowly walked before him, falling to the ground from sheer exhaustion, but slowly rising to his feet, never complaining, but ever moving towards Calvary. It was then that Simon bore the cross patiently and even gladly for Christ. And therefore, a certain priest writes, he merited to become a Christian saint, for as he was a sharer in the cross of Christ, so too he would become a partaker in his joy. Shortly after the death of Christ, Simon of Cyrene became a Christian. St. Mark writes of Simon in his gospel that he was the father of Rufus and Alexander. Rufus, the son of Simon, was consecrated the first bishop of the city of Thebes in Egypt by the apostles. His brother Alexander was also consecrated a bishop and was martyred for the faith in Spain. As for Simon, it is said by some that he accompanied the apostle St. James the Greater to Spain, and then upon his return to Jerusalem, he too was consecrated a bishop by St. Peter himself. He died at Jerusalem during the first century. My dear friends, our Lord once said, he that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me. In other words, he who does not willingly and patiently bear the trials and sufferings which divine providence sends him is not worthy to belong to Christ or to have part in the glory of Christ. St. John Chrysostom said of this, the cross can be understood as any suffering permitted by God. On that first Good Friday, our divine Savior carried the cross first. But then he allowed Simon to carry it behind him. And thus Simon carried the cross by himself while he followed Christ to Calvary. Our Lord first bore the cross as a sign of his victory over the devil. But then a certain priest writes, he relinquished it to Simon, who represented all who would follow Christ till the end of time. And this our Lord did to impress upon the hearts and minds of all who would truly believe in him that they must take up their cross, then they must follow him if they will be worthy of him. Thus, to obtain eternal salvation, it was not, so to speak, sufficient that he alone should carry the cross for us, but it was necessary that we also should carry it after him. And if we will be worthy of him, my dear friends, the cross must be carried with humility, it must be carried with patience, it must be carried with meekness. And as Simon took up the cross of Christ and made it his own, so we too must take up his cross and follow our Savior on our life's journey to eternity. We must patiently and without complaint suffer the pains, the sorrows, the privations, and the humiliations of life for the love of Christ. Listen to these words written in the book, The Imitation of Christ. Listen to what Thomas A. Kempis writes in this book. Jesus has now many lovers of his heavenly kingdom, but few that are willing to bear his cross. He has many that are desirous of comfort, but few of tribulations. Many, Thomas A. Kempis continues, many follow Jesus to the breaking of the bread, but few to the drinking of the chalice of his passion. Many reverence his miracles, but few follow the ignominy of the cross. Many, he says, love Jesus as long as they meet with no adversity or trial. Many praise him, he concludes, and bless him as long as they receive consolation from him. God forbid, my dear friends, that we are among those many. It is, as a certain priest writes, it is difficult. It is humiliating to carry the cross patiently. It is most difficult to carry it with resignation to God's holy will. And God, he says, knows and he understands this. And thus he is so patient with us. But this same priest continues, carrying the cross becomes easy when, like Simon of Cyrene, we continually have Christ before our eyes and look upon him more than at the cross dragging behind us. And if at the first moment Simon, he says, stood abashed at the shameful burden of the cross, this burden, he says, through the grace of the Redeemer, became lighter and sweeter at every step. And so, my dear people, it will be with us too. If we take up the cross of Christ each day, if we patiently, that is to say, embrace any suffering for him, and if we persevere in following him as Simon of Cyrene did, now Saint Simon of Cyrene, then we can have the utmost confidence that we will be worthy of him both here and in eternity.